Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to talk about seed for the sower. Seed for the sower.
Page 193 if you're in the little Bible.
Thank you, yes. Page 193. And we're reading out of the New King James Version this morning. If you have your own, it might be a little bit different. Or if you want a King James to take with you, we'll swap it out. Because I want you to have a Bible in the truck. In fact, take a couple of them and lead some other driver to Christ and give him or her a Bible. Amen? Part of our mission is to equip you to do the ministry. The ministry don't really happen in here, to a degree, but the real ministry is where you'll be tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, etc., where there's no chapel maybe. So we want you to be equipped to do that. And doing that, well, let's just read Romans. Oh, boy. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Who's he talking about? The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's talking about God. He's talking about Jesus. Now notice something. This is just not long ago brought to my attention. And I was watching, of course, another minister on TV. And he put it in a way that I had never really thought about. God doesn't give us a product. He gives us seed. Think about that. Now, of course, I'm microwave. I want the whole thing right now. You know, I want my needs to be met. And we all pray for specific needs in our life, and that's okay. We're supposed to do that. But you know what I've noticed is instead of giving me my needs sometimes, he'll give me a seed to plant so I get my need met. That make sense?
Yeah.
Now, I keep going back to my youth, which I was born and raised west of here in South Georgia. And my mama could cook lima beans 10 different ways. That's about what we had. We have lima beans and rice one day and rice and lima beans the next day just for a change up. She could do what we call Hoppin' John. Everybody heard of that? Black-eyed peas and rice. And Mama didn't have much. We didn't have nothing growing up, but we had a lot of love, and she taught us the Word of God. But my thought was, and when I think of seed, I keep going back to her taking those dry lima beans and soaking them overnight, usually, I don't know how long, and cooking them the next day. Now, those lima beans, you could do one of two things. When God gives a seed, be it money, talents, anything, God gives us seed, we have one of two choices. We either use it, spend it, burn it up, or plant it. It's our choice. Now, which one will reproduce? The one you plant, exactly. But now, if you're like me, planting requires time. I'm not known for my patience. And that's not good. I'm certainly not bragging. So rather than wait on this thing to put it in the ground, so to speak, and wait for it to grow, why don't I just eat what I got? Ain't the way it works, is it? But we do it that way, including our money. And we're not going to pass the plate, so don't get nervous if I say money. We don't have a plate to pass. It's built in the wall back there. It's hard to pass it. We have to tear the wall out. Thanks to some folks borrowing the donation boxes sometimes. But anyway, anything we want to grow, I wrote a little track back there called Back to the Butterbean Patch. I'd like for you to get that track and take it with you and read it. And the reason I say that is not because I wrote it, but because God gave it to us. But it covers the whole gamut of sowing and reaping. Tithing is mentioned in the Old Testament. It's taught in the Old Testament. That word is not in the New Testament. But planting and reaping is. Right? Now, by the way, tithing wasn't just money in the Old Testament. Right? It was the first fruit. The first of whatever you got. I remember growing up, and I still hear preachers still old enough to talk about it. They got paid in chickens, eggs, you know. That was the people's tithe. Because that's what they had. That's right.
Well, that's what the Bible told.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this when, mm-hmm. if I read it right, when Moses led them out of slavery and they started putting the armies in, I guess, formation where God told Moses to put them and set the priests up toward the top. It said that the people were supposed to take care of the priests, and the priests were supposed to minister to the people.
That's right.
If I'm
that is correct. And what the priest got was sheep, dove, you know, again.
Offerings.
All right. Now, since God doesn't give me the product, he gives me the seed, again, I have a choice to make. Let's just say I got just enough money to pay a bill, be it truck payment. Heaven forbid that. I like the words of that song, by the way. Have we trials and temptations? Not in trucking. And they've been in 59 years. So they've been around the rodeo. I tell people Larry was driving when they were solid rubber tires, man. He helped dock the ark. But no. Not that he's old. But no, we have a choice to make with the seed. We either eat what we got or sow it and trust God. The butter bean patch track brings me back to that, like I say, back to home. Now, we have people, I know, and I know you're not one of them. You can say he's certainly not talking to me. But I have had people to actually think. And it's, I'm not criticizing, I'm just thinking we don't think about what we're saying, is actually want to reap something where you hadn't planted. Has anybody ever seen a garden grow where you hadn't planted one?
No, it don't happen.
Ain't going to happen, right? Somebody has got to plant the garden. Now, with that in mind, God gives us his peace when we're born again, right? He said, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. I believe it's in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God is ours. That seed. Do you suppose there's anybody in our trucking industry that could stand for us to plant some seed into their life? The seed of peace. All right?
The seed of getting it to grow is one thing.
Well, see,
I leave that up to the Lord. I planted the best I can, and I'll leave it to the Lord.
All right. With that in mind, turn to Matthew 13. We might come back to 2 Corinthians, but go to Matthew 13. I want to show you something about our responsibility as the sower. Now, this is nothing new today. You've probably heard about this many times, but maybe we'll shed a little new light on this. Page 14 is Matthew 13. Let's start about 3. This is Jesus teaching. He's sharing a parable about a sower. Watch this now. Kind of long, but we'll read some of it. It says, verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, by the way, do you know what a parable is?
Phrases,
stories, illustrations, right? Said, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, the one thing I want you to notice about this story here, a little different maybe, is the sower. Let's think about if it literally happened. The sower put some seed out and the birds ate it. If that was some of us, we'd quit right there. I'm not doing any good. Everything I do goes to pot. The birds ate it. Nothing going to come from that. And then he put out some more seed. He didn't stop there. He put out more seed, but it fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth. And, of course, because it was very shallow, it sprung up right away, didn't it? But what happened? It didn't have any root either. What happened to that? It withered away. It died. Gone. What did the sower do? He said, well, shoot, nothing's happening, so I'll just quit. What did he do? He just kept on sowing. That's right. Put out more seed. And your response is like a lot of times I think, you know, is getting it to grow. Plant it, we can understand. Getting it to grow. How do we get it to grow? That's not our problem. The sower here, of course, it wound up, you know, some fell on thorns. Thorns choked them out, but verse 8, I'm glad it don't end with verse 7. Verse 8 says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some was 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And look at verse 9. What a short little verse. He who has ears to hear. Notice those two words. Everybody's got two of these, right? But Jesus here said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, it's much more than what you just heard. There's more to the story. And again, the parable, the illustration is much deeper than surface. I think one of the things he's trying to tell us here is, I give you the seed to sow. The only thing I want you to do is sow. We stand here at the door and handing out the flyers. Sometimes when I'm walking the parking lot, people say, no thanks, don't want it. You know, and that's okay. That doesn't bother me at all. That don't bother me at all. But in other words, let's just say the first 20 trucks I walked up to in the parking lot and all 20 of them said, I don't want it. Knowing me, I'd say, well, fooey with all of you. I'm not getting anywhere. No. God didn't tell me, and he doesn't tell nobody, everything's going to work just like you think it ought to.
That's the ones we need to pray for.
Huh? Exactly. Yep. And that's exactly what we do. Not that they're rude or anything. He just said, no, I don't want it. There was a lot of years in my trucking career, I would have said the same thing. I wouldn't have been that nice. I hate to admit that, but I probably wouldn't have been that nice. I tell you real quick, I don't need you. I don't need your religion. And by the way, it's not about religion, is it? Mm-hmm. It's relationship.
Right.
That's what it's about. And I love it when people say, I'm not religious. I say, I'm not either. Well, you're not. They look at my shirt. You're not. I said, no. Jesus wasn't either. He wasn't? No. In fact, the only people I find him chewing out in the Bible were religious people. He didn't chew the prostitute out, right? He didn't chew anybody. In fact, the people who were putting him to death, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't even come against them. Who did he come after? Come against? The religious group. So we don't need religion nowhere. God doesn't give us religious seed. He gives us relationship to sow. It don't matter where you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian, whatever. Don't tell everybody this because they ain't going to believe you. We're going to the same heaven.
Amen.
All born-again Christians are going to wind up in the same heaven.
We all worship God.
Same God, that's right. There's not subdivisions up there. It says Baptist take a right, Methodist take... Hey, that sounds pretty good. Go right. Hadn't been right yet. No. I can say that. I are one. But no, you know, we're going to get to heaven. We're all going to be the same. And we're not going to care about theology. We're not going to care about that. And we've probably got several denominations represented here this morning, or at least background. None of that matters.
Well, that's our human nature to want to be independent, I think, of each one. And mine's got this and yours don't.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah. Sound like ordering a truck.
Exactly, yeah.
I got this and you don't,
exactly.
Right? Right.
But it's all the same God.
It's all the same. And trucking, we could even say that about that. You may drive Freightliner, you may drive Peterbilt, you may drive International, you may whatever. But the idea is to get from point A to point B.
Exactly. They all haul the same freight, right?
That's right. Now, me, Larry and I disagree, but to me, I believe God created chicken lights. I believe in
chicken.
Or chicken.
I'm just from chicken for a friend.
My last boss let me light it up, and I did. He said, go tell him what you want. He shouldn't have said that. It was well lit. But, you know, all right, also, look a little further in this sower book story. Let's see, drop down to verse, hang on a second. What am I looking for? Drop down to verse 18 in chapter 13 of Matthew. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower, the explanation. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. He is the one who receives seed by the wayside. We talked to a driver this morning that was told, I'm not going to call the group that told him or anything like that, but he was told something I have never heard in my life. He was told by a religious group that you would recognize that touching a dog would cause him to go to hell.
Oh, what? Touching a dog?
Just touching the dog.
I've never heard that.
That's a new one on me. But if a person was shallow enough, in fact, it threw him because he had two dogs in the truck that he loved very much. And it got to bother him. And in fact, he stopped to talk with Larry and me this morning, and I'm glad he did because we were able to share. No, the Bible doesn't say anything close to that. But there again, if that seed that was sown in his life, let's say one of you guys had witnessed to him, then this come along, like the birds ate up what you put in it. You see? All right, let's go a little further.
Verse 20,
thank you. But he who received the seed on stony places is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Well, that's kind of like what we just talked about, isn't it? He has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, and then when tribulation comes. Oh, God, I didn't know I was still going to have flat tires. You know, I think about that a lot of times. We travel in the motorhome, and those tires wear out just like yours do. You know, they go flat just like yours do. That engine uses oil just like yours does. But you see, God gives us enough to take care of it. Amen? So I don't look at those things. When the tribulation come or arises because of the word, immediately he stumbled. This is the person that is not using his seed. You know, the seed has been sown in him and it's not growing. You don't get in the word. All right, let's go on. Well, you know the rest of the story. I don't want to take up time reading all of that. What I want to make a point to you about the sower is he just kept sowing. He took the seed God gave him and began to sow it. My question to you today is, what are you doing with the seed God has given you? Oh, people don't want to hear it. It doesn't say that we're supposed to hunt people that want to hear it either. You know, I believe that CB means Christian Broadcasting. And he gave us the ability. Most everybody got a CB, right? I bet, and you better agree to this, if you was with your wife and I said something really derogatory about your wife in front of the two of you, I'd have a problem. Why? Why would you defend her?
Because you love her.
Because you love her, exactly. What about Jesus? Do we love him enough to defend him? And on the CB, you don't even have to do it in person. But I hear this same old thing. I turn my radio off. Guess why the garbage is on the CB radio today? Because we Christians turn them off. Well, I get tired of hearing it too. I mean, you know, I don't get an attaboy every time I say something about God. In fact, very rarely. But when they use my father's name wrongly, just like if you said something about that lady right there, old pastor that led me to the Lord, his famous quote was, "I'll backslide, whip the tar out of you." Or try. Try anyway. Brother Clyde was an ex-moonshiner, got saved, okay? But I need to be sowing seed into your life so I can reap, okay? That's what we're trying to say today. God has given me seed to sow. He's given me his joy. He's given me his love, right? He's given me his life. What am I doing with it? Hoarding it up? I'm born again. I'm living for him. When I die, I'll go to heaven. But how many am I taking with me? And worse yet, could you watch me without my Christian shirts on or hats or whatever? Could you watch me and know that I'm a Christian?
You can show me, don't tell me.
Does your dispatcher or who you do business with know that you're a Christian? Had one used to get irritated with me till he figured me out. He finally quit paying me any attention at all. I made a habit of saying we're empty. Who you got in the truck with you? And I said, I'm glad you asked that. His name is Jesus. That's not what I was talking about. I said, you asked. So when I
said,
yeah, I just made a habit of saying we and us and, you know, including Jesus, because she didn't get to ride with me all the time. I was trying to plant into his life. I don't know if I ever accomplished anything. I don't know where he ever went. But I try, you know. And again, the results are not my responsibility. Amen? I'm only the sower trying to do the best I can with the seed I was given. But again, things like bowing your head to say grace over a meal. More than a few times, and my wife will verify this, more than a few times we've had people come to the table. Say, I appreciate you doing that, or come over and we'd say, join us, you know. Fellowship. Don't you want fellowship on the road? Don't you need fellowship on the road? Then start fellowship on the road. You got that seed. You can sow it sometime by simply bowing your head. And by the way, if you want to witness to a waitress, do it with money. Do it with money. For heaven's sakes, and we were in training just yesterday, and when I train our people, I say, please do not take a gospel tract in that restaurant if you're not going to put money with it. That's the biggest turn off you can ever do. You sit there and tell her about Jesus all day long. but you got to show her. You want to really plant a seed in her life? Show her. You say, well, I don't got much money. Well, that's a good way not to have much money. Don't sow none. You're going to eat up your butter beans and they'll be gone. I'm not saying throw it in the wind. I'm not saying waste it. Listen to that little voice, the Holy Spirit of God. If I could only do that every time. I don't hit it every time. Believe me. But I want to sow, what was old Glenn Campbell's song? Sow a little kindness in this world of tribulation, this world of chaos. This world's going down the tube fast, folks. But that's good news because, see, that has to happen. That has to happen before Jesus come back. There has to be a Judas Iscariot. You know what his job was? Anybody know? To betray Jesus Christ. You say, well, he had a choice. Yes, he did. But he chose to go the wrong way with it. There had to be a Judas Iscariot. We're living in great time today. Most exciting time to live, because I believe everybody in this room, even Larry, will live to see the second coming of Christ. You say, you're a doomsday prophet? Absolutely not. It's exciting. Can you imagine that? You think about it and read up on it. Read up on what's going to happen.
We're going to do part of it now.
We're getting there fast, right? We're there. In other words, I've heard that Jesus is coming soon, all of my 61 years. Hadn't you? But you know what? It's still true. It's more true now than it was then. They were telling the truth. And it's still true today. If you don't come in my lifetime, hey, that's all right. I'm not going to post a date, that's for sure, because Jesus said nobody knows but the Father. That's right. So we just keep on sowing. Now, when we sow our seed, what happened? It's going to germinate and come back. What happened to the sower when it got on good soil? 100-fold, 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now, we say, all right, I sowed $20, got 50 back, I'll spend the 50.
No.
No. That's right. We got the Bible on CD here, and by the way, anybody wants it, we'll give you one. It's a New Testament on CD or cassette. They were given to us by a company in Florida. They had been left in a warehouse, and through the Southern Baptist Convention, we were called and asked, did we want it? I said, absolutely. 7 pallets of them. I don't mean any derogatory by this. When they said that, I just automatically said, is the Pope Catholic? Of course I want it. They said, you can raise money for your ministry with this. And I said, no, I'm too greedy for that. The guy said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm going to give them away and watch what God does. Right? In other words, we were given, thank you, Lord, we were given 7 pallets of seed. We could have sold them. Nobody would have blamed us. The ministry needs the money, you know. Well, let me take that back. It can use the money. We don't have any needs because God takes care of that. Amen? We could have made, golly, what? I don't even know how many hundreds of them was in 7 pallets. But it could have been an enormous amount of money. I chose to take that seed and plant it in you. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying, hey, I'm in it for the long haul. And one thing I've learned in the few short years of serving God since 1971 is that he's in it for the long haul. Anybody ever heard him called the Alpha and the beginning? He knows what's going to happen, don't he? We're working on building offices in Jackson, Georgia. And I'm telling God, hey, 10 years ago, this wouldn't have been all that hard. Do you know what the world situation is? He said, no. Of course he knows. But then he don't look at it. He doesn't call Wall Street every morning to see how things are going, or the New York Stock Exchange, or whoever, does he?
No, but Lucifer does.
That's his problem.
I'm sorry, I said
that just come out, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
What we do is, though, is try our best to follow what he leads us to do, sowing where he tells us to sow, even when you could say, well, we need that ourselves. You see, Truck Stop Ministries doesn't just teach you to sow, we sow also. Because, pardon the old South Georgia theology, but what works for the goose works for the gander. Too many times, we like to teach other people about it, but we don't do it. As a church, as a people, as a whoever. Truck Stop Ministries believes in sowing and reaping. And the Better Bean Patch tract, let me throw this at you. You can read it in it. Let's just say I'm a highly spiritual person. The world would say religious. So I go out to a literal garden spot, okay, with dirt, and I plant corn in that ground. And all the time it's germinating, I'm asking God for butter beans. I mean, I'm reading scripture to it out of the King James Version. In Greek, Arabic, Hebrew, everything. And I'm praying over it, trusting God, because I read out of context where he said, anything I ask, I can have it. Right? How many have heard that quoted? Anything you ask in my name. And he said that. But now what am I going to get in the fall?
Corn.
Why?
Because that's what you planted.
Exactly. Question is, do I really want to reap what I'm planting? Attitude. You know, you will never have peace and joy when you plant hate and discontent.
That's true.
People come to us and ask for prayer, and that's good, and I want to pray with you. I don't get to answer the prayer line very much anymore, but if somebody needs finances, first thing I'm going to say, are you a born-again Christian? Yes. All right, that makes you ready for God's promises. All of God's promises are for his children alone. Alone. In fact, that was my other message I thought I was going to get to share, was along that line. The only prayer that God is obligated to answer for a non-Christian is when he asks for forgiveness. I'm not going to say he won't. It's not my shot to call. But he's not obligated. He is obligated to answer his children's prayer, which he does every time. He just don't do it the way I want him to. He doesn't do it when I want him to, but he always does it, right? And then in the end, I always go back and say, well, I'm sorry, you were right. This is better than what I had in mind, you know. So we just continue to grow, continue to plant, continue to sow, knowing that we're going to have a harvest one day. The Bible says we'll have, in Revelation, it says we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. One version says, if you faint not. Question today, what have you done with the seed God gave you? Say, I don't have any. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You got breath. God didn't have you, you didn't wind up at this truck stop today by coincidence. You won't be tomorrow wherever you're going to be by coincidence. I let the dispatcher think they sent me to a place. I prefer to think that God ordained it, because the Bible says the footsteps of a good man or person are ordered or directed by the Lord. And when God gives me that load going somewhere, then I'm looking for who is it I'm supposed to meet at the fuel stop, at the scales, at the wherever I stop, or on the road. Where are they at, Lord? My attitude when I get up in the morning, once I have some coffee. Before coffee, ain't good. But anyway, That's B.C., before coffee. No, that's before Christ. But anyway, same thing. I asked the Lord, you know. In fact, when I had a regular run to New Mexico and back, my wife might remember this, when I go load, pick up my outbound load, come back by the house, we'd lay the bill of lading on the table or somewhere and pray over it. Because I'd have 3 to 6 stops of Edward's Pies going west. Every week, same old, same old. And we'd say, Lord, you know who's going to be at every one of these places and all in between. Help me to be a witness for you. Not that I'm a super great Christian. Not, oh no. No. But help me to be a witness. Especially when that receiver's had a real bad morning. Been there and done that, right? But then we may be the only Jesus he ever sees. Or she ever sees. Again, I formed a habit. They'd tell me, I'm not going to unload you. And I say, well, I'm like Delta. I'm ready when you are. And walk off. My flesh says, tell him where to go. My flesh says, you will unload me. You ordered it. Blah, blah. How many said all that? Sure. I'll take it back. Sure you will. He knows you're not going to do that. But you know what I'm saying. Now's a good time to plant a little kindness. Show them Jesus. So, and again, 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God makes it grow. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Let's look at that. I want to make sure I read that right.
Page 176.
Somebody read it. Make sure I read it right.
I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
There you go. God gave the increase. One version said God made it grow. God makes it work. There again, we may sow seed, not see any results. Or we might get to come along behind somebody that's already sowed it and get to water it. We might get to cultivate it a little bit. But God gets the harvest. If we're really, really fortunate, we'll get the harvest. What I mean by that is tell the person and lead them to Christ. And by the way, if you've never done that, let me take out your excuse for not knowing how. First of all, you got a free Bible in your hand. In our newsletter, there's a little page that says it's the plan of salvation in it. Just cut that page out, stick it in the Bible, and keep it with you. And you can go right down the line on that page and lead somebody to Christ. Real easy. But you got to want to. And you got to be willing to go through some harassment, rejection.
I love it. I really do. I love it because they're scared. That's yep. Why they do it. They're scared.
That's right. And they're reaching out for help. A guy called me everything but a truck driver one time. My response was, listen to him telling about how much he needs Jesus in his life. I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did.
Or they call you a holy roller.
Yep. Which was my handle then. Ironically. But yeah. All right, guys and ladies. What about the seed that God's given us to sow? What are we doing with it? Do you know Jesus personally? If you die this minute, do you know for sure? Well, I want to make sure. I want to make sure. We're going to close, if you would. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Somebody here needs to pray this prayer. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not going to come and point you out. I'm not going to do none of that. I don't believe in embarrassment. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what's in your past, from murder, divorce, or both, anything. I don't care what you've been told by somebody else, God hadn't thrown you out. He don't do that.
First John.
Turn over there. What page is it?
251.
Page 251. We'll look at it, make sure it's there. See that? If we confess our sins, honey, tell me what page Hebrews 8:12 is too. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Where's it at? I'm quoting it. I'll make sure I read it right. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anything whatsoever, he's going to cleanse you. We're out here yesterday trying to get some glue residue off this chapel where we'd taken some stickers off. We had several cleaners where we found one that would actually do it. But we finally found one that cleansed it from all unrighteousness. No. Got all the glue off. And you know what? It's so good that he does that. Where's that? Hebrews 8:12, honey?
What verse are you going to read?
Hebrews 8:12.
I think it's
234.
238 in this one. I don't know
about
yours.
You must
have a different one.
812,
I'm looking at 12. I'm sorry. He's right.
Read that, Mercer, or CRC.
I ain't got my glasses.
812, okay. Hebrews 812, somebody.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Read that again real loud.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and mm-hmm. their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more.
You know what? When we pray and ask God to forgive us, he literally forgets we ever did it. That's what it said. I will remember your sins no more. Now, Satan ain't going to let you forget it. Your so-called friends won't let you forget it. God says it's not on record anymore. Isn't that a great promise? So let's close by praying a prayer. And if there's something in your life that you know it shouldn't be there, God's already dealt with you about it, and one's not worse than the other. But if you'll confess that to God, now what I mean by that is we're going to pray a simple prayer. And if you mean this prayer from your heart, based on the authority of God's word, I guarantee you he's going to forgive you. Otherwise, he's a bald-faced liar and he can't lie.
Right.
Nothing too bad or nothing too small to bring to God. He's interested in every little intricate detail of our life. So if you would, with your heads up and eyes open, I want you to pray with me. I want you to get used to praying out loud. We'll get into that at another time. But you need to read the Bible out loud. You need to pray out loud so the enemy can hear you. Well, I don't want him to hear me. I do. Understand something, bud. We're not friends. You know? If you get in the Word of God, you don't even have to fear him. Read Psalm 91. It's Christian's assurance policy. Psalm 91, 16 verses. But let's close, and I want you to, you say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't really need to pray that. I'm already born again. That's right. But just in case somebody in the room needs to, it won't hurt none of us to pray it. I mean it every time I pray it. I don't need to get saved every time, but I if there's something in my life I don't even know about, and there's plenty I already know about, that needs confessing. Would you pray with me?
Yes.
Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord,
to forgive my sins.
Come into my heart,
and help me to be
the kind of Christian
that you want me to be.
And I'll live for you to the best of my ability.
I'll read your word.
I stand on your word.
I believe your word.
I receive your word.
And your word says,
because I confess my sin,
I'm now born again.
I thank you, Jesus,
for salvation.
Amen.